different ways to discuss the heart, and God discusses it all through the Bible. I make it a habit to read through Psalm 119 before everybody comes on Sunday, and the reason for that is because it is so filled with heart. It's God's heart for us, and it's teaching us how to approach life from our hearts. And I think that, you know, you probably are the kind of people that have a good understanding of that. I know that you have very loving hearts and caring hearts. You care deeply about one another. And so you're in a good place to receive this. And one of the things that I've found is that you can never study the Bible enough on this subject of the heart. And so since we are having a theme this year that deals with not I but Christ, that means we want Christ to be foremost in our lives. That is the focus for us here in our church, that we learn to be disciples of Christ. We want to follow him. We want him to be the one that is foremost in our minds and our hearts. And that is why we are studying Thessalonians, so that we can learn this more deeply. How can we be disciples of Christ? How can we grow in our understanding of what that means, so that we can please God and that we can show him our hearts as being true to him and true to him in all that we do and all that we say? So that's kind of a long introduction to all of this, but let's get into the Word, because we have a lot to cover today. If you want to open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, I don't know why I wrote down 2 Thessalonians. It's 1 Thessalonians on the outline today, so you can change that if you have a pen to 1 Thessalonians 2, 3-13 that Jeremy just read for us so well. And let's take a look at what this says. Now, you're not going to see a lot of the things that we're talking about this spelled out so, like, clearly, but it is in the writing and that Paul does to this church in Thessalonica that we hear his heart being expressed throughout all that he has to say. There are a couple of places where we do hear and read the word heart. But really, overall, what we want to do is have a sense of where his heart is and the focus of Paul as a disciple of Christ writing to new Christians, basically, who are in Thessalonica and encouraging them in their walk with God as disciples. And so the first thing, as you've turned to, if you want to turn to that section and also for your outline, is that a heart of a disciple pleases God, not man. Right? If we read that in that section there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, right at the beginning there of chapter 2, right, it says in verse 3, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." And so a heart of a disciple is seeking to please God foremost. And that goes in with our theme, not I, but Christ. It is Christ who is the one I want to be seen in my life, I want to give honor to, I want to glorify. It has to be him, not me, right? Not I. And so this first part here helps us in this way. Paul is writing to these people, and he's talking to these new Christians who are now under affliction for their faith where they live. But he's talking to them and reflecting on the things that they had shared with them while they were with them. This is talking about Silvanus and Timothy and Paul. And he's saying, a heart of a disciple pleases God, not man. We want to please God. We're not looking to please other men or women. We want to please God in everything that we do. The second thing is a disciple, and the heart of a disciple, answers to God who tests the hearts of men. Answers to God who tests the hearts of men. If you turn to Psalm 17:3, this is reiterated. In Psalm 17:3, if you want to turn there real quick, we can read that verse there. It says, "You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing." It means, what it means there is that you will find nothing that is displeasing to you. Right? And so a heart, right, is one that is going to be pleasing to God, not men, and answers to God who tests the hearts of men. Now, Paul is talking about this, I think, really from experience, not just his own experience in saying you have to be like me, but he's referring to Christ. Right? We learn all these things that Paul is saying through the example of Jesus Christ. Right? We are changed by Jesus. And that is what changed the heart of Paul. He was someone who had a very dramatic encounter with Christ. Right? There was a voice from heaven that sounded while he was on his way somewhere to persecute Christians. And so you could say, well, Jesus grabbed him in a really special way, that and that's why he's so convicted about this. Yes, that's true. But then he went and he studied God's Word with Christians who encouraged him and showed him the connection between the Old Testament that he was very, very knowledgeable of and the New Testament and the New Covenant that is found in Christ. And as he was ministered to by other disciples of Christ, by these people that told him the meaning and gave him that connection, he knew that Jesus was real. And he knew that that voice was not just a one-time occurrence, but it was God who had lived on this earth and who had died for his sins and for the sins of all people. And he developed a relationship through other disciples and also through Jesus speaking to him in the Word of God. And he was studying the Word of God with a new look on it because Jesus had spoken to his heart. And so he was touched in his heart by Christ. And that is really where it came from. That he realized that he was a sinful person wanting to kill Christians. And yet, just like John Newton, right, Jesus came into his life and gave him new life, gave him a new start, gave him a heart that was made pure, and then he lived for Jesus. Right? And so that's where he's really coming from here. Right? This is where it all comes from. And he is concerned for the people in Thessalonica that they don't leave the faith. And that he would have also learned from Jesus, who told parables, right? Who told parables about the danger of having your faith taken away, right? You're sowing seed, and there's different kinds of ground that the seeds are sown in, and how easily the devil will come and snatch away what God wants for a person like that. And he knew very well when he wrote to these Thessalonians how dangerous it is, because Jesus had warned his disciples and the people that listened to him how easily our faith will escape us. And so we are grateful to see his heart for these people to tell them, you need to be careful in the way that you're living. I want you to stay firm in God like that. And so Paul himself answered to God. He answered to God. He knew that God was testing the hearts of men, and a disciple is very aware of that. You remember David saying, Lord, come in, examine my heart, see if there's anything that is impure in it, and take it from me, Lord. Right? When he had committed such a terrible sin. And God helped him through that time, and he was given a new heart. Create in me a new heart, Lord. David prayed to God. You know, there's a guy named Max Dupree, and he wrote a book that I want to recommend to you. If you want a book on leadership, there's many good books around, but one of them is backed by Max Dupree, and it's called Leadership Jazz. Leadership Jazz. If you have a chance to read this book, it'll really help you a lot. It's by a Christian with a lot of really good things in there. And let me just read you one word that he had on this subject. He said that as a leader, I have to ask myself over and over again as throughout my life and remind myself, to whom do I answer? To whom do I answer as a leader? You know, and I think that really comes out here and is a good emphasis here of what Paul is saying. Who does Paul answer to? He answers to God. He answers to God. God has given him this responsibility with his life. He has given him new life in Christ. He answers to God. and he pleases God alone. And so that's a good question for us to ask ourselves as Christian. To whom do I answer in my life? Am I trying to do too many things on my own? Am I trying to make too many decisions on my own? Or feeling that I'm in control of all these different decisions? If you're a leader, right, and you don't ask yourself that question, the danger is that you will become too important. And you will lose contact with the people who work under you. Or that you're leading in some way. So remember, right? Ask yourself that question as a Christian. To whom do I answer? Am I trying to just live my life without God? Or am I answering to Him in all that I'm doing? And that's what the heart of a disciple is really going to show. He goes on and he says, shares not only the gospel of God, but their own selves. That's such a great, great verse to meditate on. The heart of a disciple shares not only the gospel of God, but themselves, ourselves. What does that mean? It means that when we get involved with people and talking about Jesus, we don't just put the gospel into their minds and hearts and say, here you go, see you later. It means that you are going to spend time with them and you're going to invest your life with them. Share yourself with them, right? Share not only the gospel of God that way in word, but yourself. Show them that you care and that you love them. That is what the heart of a true disciple does, right? And that's why it's so important that we have fellowship, right, with one another in that way. And the Bible warns us against not doing that, right? We tend to say we're going to go off with this crowd, or we're going to go off and do these things by ourselves. Are you a person who tends more towards spending time away from Christians, or are you someone who seeks it? Seek time with people gladly wanting to do that. I can tell you when I was a young Christian, I went through a time when I was very picky about what I wanted to do with Christians. If I didn't like something, I would head for the door. You know, I got to go somewhere. I'll see you later. I got a phone call. Whatever it is, some kind of excuse so that you could leave what was going on there. If it didn't fit my feeling that day, or if I didn't like what was being offered that day, or something like that. I went through a time. It was a period of time right around my early college days where I was acting like that, and I was very rebellious, and I wasn't very loving. I was not loving other people. What I felt like was, if this doesn't appeal to me, then I'll go somewhere else and I'll do something else. And most of the time I wasted my time. Right? I wasted my time doing something that really didn't make any difference in my life. But if you commit yourselves as a Christian and you have this desire to serve God, you must understand how important it is to share your own life with other people, meaning you spend time with other people and other Christians, other believers, and then non-believers as well. You don't just go and say, I'm going to give you the words to eternal life so that you can never see me again. I'm going to tell you about my life. I'm going to share my life with you. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to go do things with you. I'm going to seek an opportunity so that you don't just hear the words from the Bible given to you, but that you also see that it is my life. Amen? That is what we want. And that's what Paul is teaching them here, right, through all these different things. Then he goes on and he talks about a very beautiful section here where he's saying that there's a gentle approach that he gave the gospel to them, a nursing mother taking care of her children. We have two different ways. First, he talks about being a mother to them in a gentle way, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. And then he talks like a father, exhorting, encouraging, charging those under their watch to walk in a manner worthy of God. It's important to have both of those things. I can't tell you how many times recently in my life I have really learned the importance of gentility. You know, I would say things too straightforward, you know, and it comes across in a harsh way to people, you know. But God has been teaching me that, you know. The gentle way is a much better approach. You don't want to be forceful with people like that. Even if you're a father like type of a person, you know, he distinguished between the mother who is taking care of her children and a father exhorting, encouraging, charging. It's good to have both. But he begins with a motherly approach to her children and a gentle way to let them know. He said, we're apostles, and we could have been really harsh with you because we have this position as apostles, but our approach was in gentility, and that expresses Jesus, doesn't it? Right? This weekend, I had the privilege and joy of holding a little baby on my lap. And man, I just become like this sack of whatever, you know, just kind of helpless, and you just feel all warm, and you just, you know, the way you talk and the way that your body feels and everything is just like kind of like everything just let go, and I have shivers in my neck right now just thinking about it. I hope that God will remind me of that feeling the next time I want to tell someone something in an ungentle way. I think that that's one of the reasons that God gives us those moments, so that we will come to our senses and let go of all of the tension and all of the, you know, I'm going to tell this guy off, or, you know, I know exactly what this person needs. And even that, you know, just pointing and stuff like that is so un-Christ-like. Right, so we need to let go of those things and let the babies in the world teach us what it means to be gentle and to, you know, even guys, we're not mothers, we can't be mothers, but we can certainly learn from mothers to be gentle as though they are nursing their children. Right? And then fathers, exhorting, encouraging, and charging those under their watch to do what? To walk in a manner worthy of God. That's so important as a Christian, as a disciple. You have to have a heart that is tuned in to want to show other people how they should live. And that hits you right between the eyes as a Christian, as a disciple, because you have to begin with yourself. You have to think, okay, am I just telling this to somebody without living it? Or am I living it, and so therefore I'm on good, safe ground? You know, just like the psalmist who said, God looks into my heart and he finds nothing. There's nothing that he can find there that is going to be contrary to what he wants from me, and so I'm on safe ground. Lord, come in and make me that way. But it's not easy, because it means that we have to admit that we've sinned and that we have wrong in our life. We do things that hurt people and things like that. But when people see a person is sincerely caring about them from their heart, they really can tell. Right? They really can tell those kind of things. Now, we're not just all these kind of, you know, pushover people. I was watching this sports program, and there was a coach there, and he was like giving it to these kids, you know, and he was yelling at them and telling them to run around, but his heart was in it. He didn't hate them, and he wasn't like beating them or anything, but he was passionate about teaching them how to play the game right. And I think that can help us also. There's for both men and women in sports, you can see how driven some people are, right, to perform well. And you need someone behind you who is going to be there for you and is going to urge you on and exhort you to make the best of your talent and to really do a good job with that, whatever it is that you're talented with. And it could be any kind of a field. But God shows us the heart of Paul is like a father and a mother, and the father is encouraging and charging them, walk in a manner worthy of God. That's the secret to life, man. And then we all start to think, okay, that's what I have to do too. Another thought, thanks to God. The heart of a disciple is thankful to God when people respond to the gospel as what it truly is, the word of God, not of men. Thankful to God when people respond to the gospel, not as words coming from me. Wow, I'm really glad that person did this for me. But they say, that is the word of God coming to me through this person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that God is looking down on me and say, I care about you. I need you to start living in a way that is representative of me. That goes from the very youngest person to the very oldest. We face temptation all the time. Right? We face temptation all the time to get away from God and to draw us away in our lives. But man, you can see in the life of Paul that he was caring about these people in Thessalonica that were new Christians and saying, I need you to do this. This is what you need to be doing. Don't listen to those people that are taking you away into idol worship. Don't let those people, just because they're saying they don't believe what you do, don't let them affect you. Stay in tune with God. God does these things, right? He speaks to people. These people were people that believed it was the word of God, not Paul, that gave them what they believed. So important that we encourage each other. See how much we have to do as Christians, as disciples, as people in the church? We have a lot to do, but it's all what? To please Him. Not men, but to please God. We have so much, and there's so much joy that comes from that. And seeing people that come to faith, and that's what he felt most, I think. If you don't mind, I'd like to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'd like to read the chapter to you. Can you just listen to these words as I read to you, and then we'll just talk a little bit more about it. But this is so important. You just listen to the heart of Paul as he speaks to them. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. When we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that you were going to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. And for now we live if you're standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Man, that's so encouraging, right? And it's a perfect picture of what you can be. Do you believe that? That you can say, I can't wait to see you because I want to be an encouragement in your Christian life. And our being in this Grace Church can do that through the grace of God and through the power of Jesus' love working among us. And that's why we have that verse today. That we are known as being disciples of God. How? By our love for one another. That is what is going to be the sign that people know that we are God's disciples. Wow. Bring it on. Bring it on. Let me love. Show me how to love, Lord. You know? And behind all these words of Paul for those people, I yearn to come to you. I can't stand being away from you. I'm worried about you. I hope that you're doing so well. You know what? We're going to send Timothy there. And this is at a time when people had to wait a long time for a response from other people. They couldn't just, you know, like today, call somebody on the phone. They had to wait and wait and wait for a response, for someone to come back. A long journey from Thessalonica to where he was, or writing a letter. It took a long time for the letter to reach people. Can you imagine that? that also added to his feeling of like not knowing what was going on with them and his concern, because he had to wait a long time to hear back from them, right? So he was like, oh, I wonder how they're doing. Can you imagine? I mean, sometimes you're thinking, I wonder if a person's all right. He's thinking, is a person being all right in their belief in God? Are they, you have to put yourself in his position, that we are now, as disciples of God, to that point in our lives where we say, I haven't seen this person in a long time. I wonder how their walk with Jesus is doing. That's what we want. A heart that is going to be bent around those things. Not just, I can't wait to see you so that we can go off and we can just and celebrate and do things like that. That's all part of it. Yeah, that's great. But how are you doing with Jesus? We have a short-term mission trip that is being planned. Susan is putting things together for people to sign up, right? I wish that you can all, everybody in our church can look at the questions that are being asked to the young people to answer as they apply for this short-term mission, because it applies to all of us. What is your relationship to Jesus Christ right now? How would you describe it? That's a great one, great question to be asking all of ourselves, right? We have to ask, how would you describe your life and your relationship to Jesus Christ? What is your heart like for Jesus right now? And you know what? If you have any questions about it and you feel like, you know what? When I hear that question, I really don't know if I can answer that well. Then why not start today? Right? Why not start today to be able to, develop that answer? And go to God and look at your heart and see where you stand with Jesus and say, where do I stand with Jesus? Right? And that would begin today. That we all do that as a church. Say, where do I stand? How would I describe my relationship with Him? Am I going to sound like Paul? I believe in Jesus Christ as the answer to life. And living is important to me when I can tell that others in the faith are doing well with Him. And then just go with that and see where God leads you in your life. We have opportunities in our church for people, and we have been praying for people that are going to say, I have Jesus as my Savior, and I want to serve Him, and I want to begin now to serve Him with all of my being. I want to serve Him with all of my heart. I want to serve Him in whatever way it is, and my time is in your hands. Take it. Take my life and tell me where I can do things, and I'm going to make time for that. Right? That's it. My life belongs to Jesus, and I'm fully surrendering to Him. And so now my life, I don't have any more clutter. I don't have any more worries. I don't have any more responsibilities except for the one to Jesus. And don't move away from that so quickly and say, well, except for this responsibility. And except for this responsibility. Look at the responsibility He has. His responsibility is the welfare of other Christians to grow in their faith. They have become His life. My life is defined by how you're doing in the faith, because God, who I am responsible to, and I please alone, not men, and nobody else, right? And I answer to God who tests my heart, and I have to come before Him every day with my life and say, where is my heart today? Does it belong to my job? Does it belong to my children? Does it belong to my husband, my spouse? Does it belong to something else? Or does it belong to Jesus? I answer to Him. And if you don't answer to Him now, you will answer to Him at the end of your life. And that is what the Bible teaches us. It's not a secret. Right? And so we don't want to be feeling like, you know what? I'm just going to put it off and I'll deal with it later on. We say, Jesus died for me, my life belongs to Him, and I'm seeing that Paul has given up his entire life and is willing to be beaten and really brought to the point of death when he eventually died. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus Christ was so important to him that he gave his life to him. And he said, I am now committed to the furthering of God's kingdom and the people of God. We need to do that. That's what we want to develop as Christians. a passion. Right? So I wrote that, these things down. The heart of a disciple, passionately responsible for the lives of others, willing to suffer for others. Right? Cares deeply for the growth of others, is encouraged by the faith of others, lives when others stand fast in the Lord. If you were to ask me, everybody, describe your life, I probably just could not, you know, it wouldn't enter my mind to say, my life is defined by everybody else and how they're doing in the Lord. But today it will. And the rest of my life, it will. And if each of us commits to Jesus that way, and then we commit to each other, we are going to see what a disciple really is. And we will see discipleship grow in our church, and we will see people's lives changed. Yearns to be in fellowship with those of the faith. Yearns to be in fellowship with those in the faith. We have a great big problem in our church there. Because the world is taking everybody away. I'll be there if I can make it. I will join with you if there's something interesting for me to join. And you know what? If something else comes up at the last minute from my kid's school or from my work or whatever that is, I'm going to do that. So how are we supposed to put that together? If you have an answer for me, I would love to talk to you about it more. Because if we want to grow as a church and we don't want to be just a grace church by name only, then we have to look at this problem. It takes faith to be a Christian. And that's why Paul is so upset that these people are being dragged away from the faith. Pray to God and ask yourself the question, how is my relationship, how would I describe my relationship with Jesus Christ right now? God will help you to know, because He tests the heart. He tests our heart. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know that your life is dependent on Him. We all have to grow in these areas here. And we all need to put it to prayer and to think about it. The last thing that Paul says, he's going to pray that the Lord establish the hearts of young Christians blameless in holiness before God the Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all of His saints. Parents, are you praying that for your children? That the Lord establish the hearts of my children blameless in holiness before God the Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. Parents, are you praying that for yourselves and showing your children how to do it? If you're not, then how are you going to expect them to? Brothers and sisters, are you praying that the young Christians in our church, the people in our church, other brothers and sisters, are going to be blameless in holiness before God the Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all of His saints? Are you praying that for yourself? Or do you think that you are greater than Jesus and that He is going to come and you're going to be able to talk your way into heaven? Because that is a completely different story and a different message than I understand the Bible giving us. And it teaches us the fear of the Lord. Man, all you need to do is look at the sun, like John Calvin said. If you can look at the sun and look at that sun, right at it, without looking away, you are somebody very special. But looking at the sun, just go outside today and try to look directly at the sun, and you will understand how small you are. But that's what we do as people that are sinful. We think that we can look at the sun and we have almighty power and we can do what we want in life, but it doesn't work that way. But if we give our lives to Christ, and He lives in us. There's nothing we cannot do because Christ is living in us. So we have a lot of very, very smart people here today, all of you. Consider those things that Paul is teaching to us here in this, and what he's showing us. He wants to make sure that we are not going to die in our sins and that there be nothing else. He wants us to be in a position when Jesus returns, and he says this all through this letter, that we are blameless in holiness. And it needs to start with each one of us looking at our lives before God and deciding, am I going to continue on that way or am I going to stand up for my faith? And that's what he's urging them to do too. In the midst of a society that was saying idolatry is the way, there is no other God except for our idols that we worship. And that's what we live in today. But we know the true Savior. We know the true God, the true and living God that Paul said in chapter 1. So let's really do some heart searching, okay, in our church. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God can do based on what he wrote here, you know, to see the great things that God has prepared for those who are true to him, and that he can take our church and he can grow it in ways that we can't do ourselves if we only just give our complete allegiance to Jesus, the Christ who died for us and loved us and rose again and sits at the right hand of God and is coming again. And so let us consider these things and the meaning of Jesus in our lives. And then, most of all, just consider what the heart of a disciple is based on this writing today. Next week, we're going to be talking about the life of a Christian that is sanctified, sanctification, the process by which we let go of the things that are holding on to us. And I believe that will help us also to be able to do that. To say, I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be as Christ wants me to be. But let me just come back to one more thing again. There are opportunities, and I believe that God wants me to say this, there are opportunities in our church for people to step up in their faith, and that through God's power, he will help you to be an effective disciple at work in our church and to help other people to be encouraged in their faith. Will you do it? Will you do it? Let us pray. Father, I pray and I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person in this building. I praise you, Father, for the joy that you have given to me. And I pray, Father, that you'll forgive me for the times, Father, as I read through this scripture, and I know that there are times in my life, and even now, Lord, where I'm not giving total allegiance to you. I pray, Father, that you will help each person sitting here today to be moved by you. Not the words of men, but by you. And that your voice will speak into their hearts and test the heart of each person here. So that, Lord, we will give our lives completely to you, and that we will grow as a church and a desire to love one another and be in fellowship with one another and to encourage one another's faith, so that each one of us will be certain that we will be standing blameless in holiness before Jesus Christ on his return. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that needs Jesus, that they will come and speak to me at the end of this service. I pray, Father, that you will help them not to delay and to believe in Jesus and to be baptized and to follow Jesus fully. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here who is struggling, if they're struggling, Lord, that you will help them to come and also speak with those in the church who are firm in belief in Jesus, so that they will have a time of prayer and be able to open themselves up. Lord, help us to be a church that is going to be a church that desires to share not just the gospel, but ourselves, just as Jesus did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.